Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. I'm Vindy. My co-host Mina is on a little vacation this weekend, but she will be back next Saturday to continue March Madness with us in honor of Women's History Month. I know we were supposed to have a discussion on women in film last Saturday, but because Mina was sick, that discussion has been rescheduled for next Saturday. The 22nd, she'll be back for that. So today I'm very excited because I don't know that we've mentioned this, but Mina and I are cousins. And today I'll be talking with our grandmother, Granny, who is someone that we both really look up to and whose opinion we value so much, especially in terms of how to navigate through life as women. So we'll be talking today about the challenges women have faced historically and gained some perspective from her as an older woman. Okay, so Granny, do I have you?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. Great, great. I'm great. And I thank you so much for agreeing to do this with us. We have a little bit of kinks because we're still new to the whole radio thing, so just bear with us. But
okay.
I want to thank us. We appreciate you agreeing to do this because I know that, number one, you're busy. And you don't like to do a whole lot of talking.
Right. But I will.
Yeah, so we yes, we really appreciate that. So we know that you came of age sort of during the 1950s and the 1960s, just as second wave feminism was really getting ready to take off, and issues like reproductive rights, equal pay, and things like that. We wanted to figure out what this all meant for you on a personal level. And I guess to start, I guess we'd like to ask, if you encountered any real discrimination in the workplace because you were a woman? And if you did you notice any real changes after laws were made to sort of level the playing field?
Very little discrimination, because after I grew up, I basically never really worked for private industry. I worked in the government, and they didn't discriminate a lot, but we had supervisors sometimes that would give other people lighter jobs than, you know, like because they liked them, because they were little old ladies, like they call them, this is a little old white lady, and different things like that. But could always fight that on the job, you know. So the discrimination there wasn't really, really bad. But, you know, a lot of times before I started with the government, we could go to jobs, you know, to look for jobs. And it was kind of funny because you would go for interviews for jobs and seem like they would select, if they would select a black person, it would be one of a color, like we used to say high yellow.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? And if you were a darker-skinned person, most of the time they would leave you sitting, you know?
Oh.
And one interview I went on, I was never called in. I just figured somebody looked out there and they saw me and said, no, we just let her sit. So that was discriminatory for me, you know.
So there was more issues with color issues.
Right.
I guess.
Right.
Sexism.
Right. But once I went into the government, it wasn't like that, you know. Because in the first place, to move in there, you had to take tests, you know, and
right.
Everything was based on what you knew, not the color of your skin, whether you were a woman or a man. It was how you did on this test, the way you got the job.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. So you've also talked about how financial institutions historically have discriminated against women, like banks and stuff. And so I guess as far as like loans and interest rates go, do you think the situation is any better today than it was, say, 40 or 50 years ago?
No, because I had a situation, and this is my experience. This is not something that somebody told me. I had a loan, and this person that I'm very close to had a loan. It was a big personal loan. And we both retired. So our loan interest rate was 11.99. So after 3 years, because the loan was big, it was like over $20,000. And he went to the bank. And I'll call the bank's name. I'm allowed to do that?
Yes, you're allowed to.
Okay.
You can go ahead.
Bank of America.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked them to lower his interest rate. And they lowered it from 11.99 to 5.7. So he called me. He said, because they'll probably lower your rate. I called them and asked them the same identical thing. They could refer me to a counseling, you know, somebody to help me manage my bills. And
wow.
Yeah, and I have a good credit score. I never paid late. I pay on time, and I have more, and I had an account there, and he didn't. We both retired, and my retirement is higher than his, so I felt like it was discrimination because I'm a woman. Because I have had other women.
Other women have had that same issue?
I saw on TV that a woman had that same problem with Bank of America.
Same banks and everything, too.
Yes.
I think her YouTube video went viral after that. I think I remember
that.
Yeah.
So
what do you think the undercurrent of that is, like why they do that?
I didn't hear you.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's because I'm a woman. I think it's because I'm a woman. And I couldn't understand it. And I told him, I said, I know this person that did this. I didn't call his name, you know. And because that's why I called you, because he said you did it for him, you know, and they couldn't give me no reason why they wouldn't lower my interest rate. And like I say, my income is higher than his. We're both retired. We both get government pension, but my pension is higher.
And so you think they make it harder for women. Why? You think?
I don't know. I wish I knew that answer. I really do.
As far as why financially women are treated this way.
I really wish I could. I wish I had the answer for that. I don't know why that they discriminate against women like that. And it happened to someone else I know, too. In fact, it happened to his wife. He had her do it, and she's not retired. She works. She's still actively employed by the government. They wouldn't lower her interest rate either.
That's amazing. I think that might be something we want to, like, look into as to why this happens, maybe for, like, a future episode.
Right.
Really dig deep, you know.
Right.
Women and men are treated so differently by banks, on,
right.
You know, along those lines.
That's right.
How do you think, or do you think that your experience as a woman and a woman of color is in any way different from a white woman's experience?
I don't think so. I think they discriminate against all women. I don't think so.
Were you surprised that we had a black president before we had a white female president?
No. No.
Why not?
I just don't think that. I think they'd rather put a black man in than to put a white woman or any woman in. That's the way I feel. I think they discriminate against all women.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that women and female politicians are still discriminated against?
I think it depends on what office they're running for.
Oh, okay, I see.
That's what I think.
So maybe
they
not
give
on
them,
the local
they give
state
them the little
level,
menial jobs, you know, but I don't think, you know, and there are women out there that's qualified, I feel, you know. I want to see what's going to happen if Hillary decides to run.
Yeah, I think everybody wants to see what will happen.
I really want her to run. I want to see what happens.
Yeah, I do. I would love to live, to say I've lived to see the first female president.
Right, white or black.
I can't say I'm that confident in it, but that would be wonderful if it happened in our lifetime.
Right, but I'm sure they'll find somebody to try and beat her out, in which I feel like she's very qualified.
Yeah.
And would make a good president, but I don't think it's going to happen. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, me too. I mean, I like her. I think, you know, she has amazing credentials, but I'm not convinced either that it will happen.
Yeah.
Just because men are trying so hard to prevent that. Well, some men in politics are trying very hard to make sure that doesn't happen, especially with the whole Benghazi thing. That's another, you know, topic.
Right.
As you were, becoming an adult, entering into adulthood, did you find access to birth control limited? Was that easy to access?
It was always limited.
Was it?
I never knew about birth control till then that's why I feel like women were kind of, you know, discriminated. White women were into birth control, I feel like, long before black women. You know, we just, well, not me personally, because I didn't have access to, you know, birth control. And I think white women had it a lot longer than black. I don't know why.
You think that's an issue of class or race, you think?
I think it might be more an issue of class.
Mm-hmm.
Than race. But
maybe.
I know we didn't, you know, even with my mother, you know, having, you know, kids and not having access to birth control, I can't really figure out whether it was race or class. I really can't figure that one out.
Mm-hmm. It may have been some combination of both.
Right.
But I would imagine, and this is just conjecture, I wasn't there, but I maybe, you know, having more resources, wealth, you might have access to better health care and therefore more options in, as far as that goes.
Right. But see, even then, you know, my mother worked, my father worked, you know, we lived decent. I mean, we didn't have everything, you know, like we don't now. You know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I just don't. But I know she didn't have access to birth control. But when I was growing up, you know, I was kind of out there, you know, and I figured things out. So I always could, you know, I had access. I really did. because I'm kind of pushy, and I find things out, you know?
Yeah. Now, it's around 50 years later, I guess around that long, and we're still facing this issue with men trying to create laws to control women's bodies and limit our access to birth control and abortion and things like that. Why do you think male politicians are so interested or so hell-bent on keeping us all pregnant, basically, and limiting our freedom in that way?
Because that's the way men are. They want control. They want to have control. And women have got to stop letting them control them, you know. There's got to be something done about it, because you shouldn't be allowed to tell a woman what she can do with her body and when she can have babies and when she can't have babies. That should be up to the person. And, you know, I mean, I personally would not have an abortion, but if if someone else wanted it, that's their thing, you know? I mean, why should you say, well, she can't have an abortion? You don't know why she's having it.
Right.
They don't even want women to have abortions when they're raped.
Mm-hmm.
And that's up to the woman, not to some man to sit back and sign a paper and say, oh, they can't have no abortions. Then don't have sex.
Do you think men should have any say at all as far as either birth control or abortion goes?
I don't think they should have any say. It's not. They can't have babies. And you don't know what it is a woman goes through.
Right.
You don't know what.
Some people argue that, you know, they do contribute, like they are.
Contribute what?
The potential other parent. Their DNA, like they, you know, they're the other parent, so they feel like.
Then don't contribute your DNA. You know, if this is the way you feel, that you control a woman by doing it. You know, I don't feel like a man should have any say in it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Because he's not the one physically giving birth.
Not the one physically giving birth and not the one physically going to take care of them. I don't care whether you're black or white.
Uh-huh.
You are responsible for that baby. This man
so
might want to get up one day and decide, well, I don't want to be bothered with you or the baby. And he can walk. But we as women, the average woman is not going to walk away from her child.
So you think that no matter what, how a man and woman might decide that, oh, you know, we're going to parent, we're going to do 50-50, that no matter how much planning goes into that, the woman will still ultimately be the primary.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not knocking men. Some men will do. It's like it's not a 50-50 thing, but some men will, you know, do what they're supposed to, and some don't. Some, you know, they, like, get tired of things very easy. You know, they can walk away, I put it that way. But we can't walk away, you know.
Some mothers do.
Some women
away.
Do. Some women do, but not a lot.
Right. Okay. That's fair. I think that's a fair argument. Now, you once said, I can't wait to ask you about this. You once said, said multiple times that marriage is a form of prostitution. So why do you feel this way, and what are the similarities that you see between being married and being a prostitute?
Well, you know, I never knocked anybody doing prostitution, because that's your choice. But even when you're married, if you're not getting what you want, then you don't give up anything. You know what can you kind of understand where I'm coming from? You know,
yeah.
If you coming in the house, you coming home every week, not putting out anything, then the woman don't put out. So, you know, you just, to me, it's like you're doing the same thing, but you got license. You have a license.
Mm-hmm.
if you're not getting anything, then you don't want to do anything.
So essentially, there is the only difference between marriage and prostitution is the license to do it.
Right. That's the way I feel. That's the only difference. That's the only difference between marriage. I know somebody going to say, that old lady needs to shut up. But there is not too much difference. And I am a mature woman. But, you know, if you keep coming home and wanting to lay around and not do nothing and not put money in my pocket in the house, then I'm not going to do anything either.
And so you're not, well, we know you're not against the institution of marriage. You were married. And
oh, yeah,
you're not
for 34 years.
Right. And you're not against prostitution either.
No. No, I don't judge anybody, you know. I mean, if this is your life, I mean, they're working. I mean, they need to be careful, you know, in what you're doing.
Right.
Protect yourself. But it's the same thing in marriage. You have to protect yourself, you know. And like they'll say, well,
yeah,
these prostitutes out here getting killed. Men are killing their wives.
Right.
Check the paper out.
Right.
Check the news. They're killing their wives because they want to be with somebody else. Or they just, for some reason, there's a lot of that going on, killing the wife and the kids too.
Yeah, you can see it on the news.
So you can't say, well, a prostitute out there and they killing them up. Like I say, and these are married people.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You're right. What would your advice be to young women who are thinking about getting married?
Just to not lose yourself, you know. Be yourself, not lose yourself. You know, always be you. And then you have to really think, well, and you know, be with somebody, get to know this person, because you know yourself. Love yourself
mm-hmm.
more than you do anybody, you know. You first love yourself. You love your husband, but you have to lay down rules, you know. We're going to do this. Okay, you're going to do this, and I'm going to do that. You, because women work, they take care of kids, and they clean house, they cook. Men work. The average man works. He comes home up to a meal and to the TV. And, he don't have to see about the kids. Some do. Some men do. They share.
Yeah.
But a lot of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to get an understanding. I think that's why my marriage lasts for 34 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because me and my husband had an understanding. You know, I'm
everybody
not going to
play, basically.
Basically, you have to have an understanding, and you have to get used to each other. You have to, and some men need a little training, you know. You have to let them know what you're going to do, put up with, and what you're not going to put up with.
Okay, I think that's good advice.
But like I say, I'm not knocking men. I don't want anybody to get that impression.
No, we understand. Yes,
yeah,
we
but,
understand.
You have to not lose yourself. You have to be you. You don't change for anybody.
Right. What are some of the things that bother you about women in society today? Or some things that you see a lot of women do or that you witness that
some women,
if you had the power, you wish you could change.
Yeah, some women, as far as men go, you mean, they cater to, you know, they cater to their men. You know, they make them feel like there's some kind of precious gift, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why men act like they act, because of the way women act. You know, they feel like, well, if I can't hold on to this one, I won't get another one. That's not true.
So you think women are part of the reason why men take advantage and
right
and you know cheat or neglect and do things like that.
Right, because you allow them to.
Okay.
You allow them to do that.
I mean, just because I think a lot of women really want to be pleasers, and a lot of women you know, they want to be that pillar of support for their husbands.
You can be a pillar of support for your husband, but not losing yourself in the meantime, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can support him as well as he should be supporting you.
What do you think about women who don't want to marry at all?
That's fine. Some women don't want to marry. They have no, they want the kids, but they don't want the husband. And as long as you're financially able to do that, then that's fine. A lot of women don't want to be married.
So you think as long as a woman can afford it, like single parenting is okay?
That's it. A lot of women are married and just like single parents because they're doing it all.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Probably.
I know of some cases where some women are doing it all and married.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can do bad by yourself.
Yeah. Probably even most these days.
Yeah.
Probably doing a majority of the work.
Right. Because there's a lot of women out there in the workforce, and they still not giving them the type of money that they give men. That's
mm-hmm.
still going on today.
Yeah. I think we talk about that women not having still, even though they do, I think two-thirds of the world's work, still not having the earning power, still not making a dollar to a man's dollar, still making only, I guess, like 75 cents to a man's dollar.
Right. I think women are very treated very badly in this society.
Mm-hmm.
But that is...
Do you think things have gotten any better since you were young, since you were our age? Have things
improved? Gotten better. It's gotten better. But it needs to get better, you know?
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that. Well, I thank you so much.
Okay, I know somebody's going to knock me out.
No, they won't. We would never let that happen.
But
I really appreciate, you know,
my opinion.
Taking the time out. Yeah,
okay.
And we really value your opinion a lot. And we hope to have you here.
Okay.
One of these days.
Okay.
All right. So take care.
Okay.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, thanks, everyone, for joining in and listening. That was Granny. Given her two cents, you can love it or hate it. But in the end, we, like I said, we really value her opinion and appreciate her progressive attitude towards women's issues, both historically and contemporary. So our Facebook page is facebook.com/chattychicksradio. You can also find us on Google+ and twitter.com/chattychicksradio. And so until next week, we will be discussing women in film. Take care. Have a great and blessed weekend.
We're all going through our problems, but we all have the same insecurities, and we all have the same abilities, and we all need each other. And, you know, I have been around the world. I've seen so many things. I love my husband. But it's nothing like a conversation with a woman that understands you. I grow so much from those conversations.